This is Kyle Keller. You're listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News.
Thanks, Kyle. We're back with a fresh episode just for you, fellow Hanshin Tigers fan. Welcome to episode 175 of H10 on this cloudy, overcast Monday, May the 22nd. I'm the founder of H10, T-Ray, and joining me from halfway around the world is nobody. That's right. I am all by myself on today's show, and I can't remember the last time that happened. It has been years since I haven't had a sidekick. Sanjay, miss ya. Hope you can come back soon. Well, on today's show, without my dear faithful sidekick, we are going to be previewing the first half of Interleague for you, as that is coming up on the schedule real soon. We are going to look at three Pacific League teams so that you are up on what is up with them. Everybody out there, are you ready for your required dosage of H10 dopamine? Can't hear you, but I'm assuming you are. I am too. It's time for some rumors and news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
So we're starting with a little bit of an injury report, and let's cut to the chase. The most important one that we have been talking about since mid-April is Atsuki Yuasa, Atsu, who had some elbow issues. They said it was fatigue at first. I think they were lying. Well, anyways, he has finally appeared in some farm games. I think his first farm game, he allowed 2 runs on 1 inning pitched. Second one, he had a clean inning. But this week, he is apparently going to be throwing in back-to-back games just to see if he can handle work on consecutive days, and it is entirely possible, they're saying, that he could get called up in time for Interleague action, which begins on May the 30th, a week from tomorrow. Now, as far as the rest of the bullpen, we do have some other issues, one of those being that Daichi Ishii, who I believe was our 8th inning guy, or he was in there for some really high leverage situations. Anyways, he hurt his lower back. He is choked about that because he's gotten hurt in each of his first 2 seasons, was hoping to stay healthy this year, but he was deactivated on May the 13th, and apparently he will not be back in 10 days, which means that he's not back for tomorrow's action. They're saying maybe sometime in Interleague. Maybe. We're not sure. So, replacing him in the bullpen, I believe, was Junya Nishi, who got called up and made 1 start, but is now going to be in the bullpen. We also had a couple of other guys coming up and down. Oh, pardon me, it was Hamachi who got called up to replace Ishii, and then Junya is going to be just kind of filling some voids in there. One of those being, and this was not part of the plan at the time that Junya moved into the bullpen, but Aoyagi has been farmed because, well, you'll see that in the recaps when we talk about May the 19th game. Not a pretty one for him, but replacing him potentially in the rotation would be Kirishiki, who apparently is getting the call up possibly this Thursday against the Giants at Koshien Stadium. Also, we sent down a couple of our young right-handed sluggers, those being Dan Onodera and Kota Inoue, and taking their place collectively, or just one guy, that would be Shota Morishita, the rookie. So we'll see how he does and how he did, particularly on May the 20th, when he did. All right, well, that's going to be it for the rumors and news, but it's time to check in with some of our imports.
What was that? Did you hear something?
Coming in from around the world, foreign imports.
Yeah, so we kind of haven't done much of a corner for this in a long time because it's more or less been pretty static. You know, these guys are up on the top squad, this guy's down on the farm. But I have been asking the question to anybody that I can ask it to, where the heck is BK, Brian Keller? I even asked the man himself, I didn't get a reply, but he has not appeared in any farm action whatsoever in the past 2 weeks, maybe even the past 3 weeks or month. There has been no report of an injury. And I know that they've been trying to get other guys playing time, particularly starts, but like, has the team already given up on him? Does he have an injury that we don't know about? Is he heading back stateside for something? I mean, I don't think so because I follow his Instagram and I saw him kind of, you know, cruising around the Kansai region doing some sightseeing. So I don't know what the deal is, but still the question is, where in the world is Brian Keller? Also in import news, bees. Jeremy Beasley is being farmed as of today. Not for anything that he did wrong, but they are actually going to try and groom him into a starter. And I think maybe they're looking at the rotation and seeing how some of these guys are not having the seasons they anticipated. Ow, Yagi! And so we want to make sure that we've got enough guys that might be able to fill that void. And so he's heading down there just for kind of a stint to adjust his mechanics or his whatever stamina so that he can get up and pitch multi-innings at the start of games instead of one inning towards the tail end of games. And he was only being used in low leverage situations anyways, so maybe this is all for the best. There was also an article that reminded us that this move is somewhat reminiscent, although for different reasons, of another certain big, burly, foreign pitcher in 2010 named Randy Messenger, who started as a reliever and ended up going down to the farm mid-2010, came back, pitched fairly well towards the end of 2010, and just exploded from 2011 onwards. So we shall see what happens with the Jeremy Beasley experiment. But here's the hoping that he provides for us in the rotation. And that'll do it for the imports because the other three guys are all up on the top squad. KK hasn't gotten a ton of action. Noisy has been a starter pretty much every day. And Mieses has not. But he's been in and out. So there you have it. Ready to hear a little bit more about our friend Juichi.
Checking in with Fujinami. Checking in with Fujinami.
Shinro Fujinami. That's right. In the bullpen in Oakland. And, you know, people are saying that he's a bust and he's terrible and when are they going to cut him? And I'm not going to 100% disagree with that, but I am going to say this, that if you look at his overall ERA compared to his ERA since joining the bullpen, he's on the right track, although it may not look like it. And so, first of all, his total stat line is 1 win, 5 losses, 12.62 ERA, 25 2/3 innings pitched, 25 strikeouts, 23 walks, 3-hit batsman. So it's looking like the Shintaro of old, of young, of struggling that we experienced as Hanshin Tigers fans from 2017 to 2021, essentially. Yankees for 2 1/3, no runs against, no hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Rangers on the 12th of May, 2/3 of an inning, no hits, 1 walk, got the win, his first as a major leaguer. And then 2 games against the D-backs, back-to-back, 2-run appearances, 1 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 3 strikeouts, 2 runs. And then on the 17th, 2/3 of an inning, 1 hit, 2 walks, 1 strikeout, 2 runs against, and he got hung with the loss. So that one was actually, he pitched the last out of one inning and the first out of another inning. And maybe that didn't go as he had hoped. He did strike out the one guy he faced in the first of those 2 innings. Anyhow, Fuji, we're always wishing you the best. We do want you to come back when you're good and ready and not when Major Leagues tells you that you ain't no good, because you're good, my friend. You are good. Let's go take a visit to the farm, shall we?
Doing her best on the farm. Gotta make the coaches see I can make my plays on the first team.
So there ain't been much good down on the farm for our team, except for this past stretch has been quite good. So overall, our record now through May the 21st is 17 wins and 21 losses, which, you know, is not a great record. We're in fourth place out of fifth teams, but we're closer to third than we were before, and I can see us moving into third or even second within the next month. We went 8-2 during this two-week stretch. Not too shabby. I think there was a tie in there as well. And so for good hitters, we have, again, Maegawa, who is still got a crazy good slash line of 386, 455, 443. And then Onodera, who, as I mentioned earlier, got sent down, he is slashing 329, 430, 451, down there, he knows full well that he doesn't belong on the farm anymore, and he wants to get called up one last time and never sent down again. So we're wishing him all the best. Of course, I would be excited to see Maegawa as well. And so if you do see a number 58 being called up during interleague, after interleague, whatever it might be, that's Maegawa. That's our guy. As for pitchers, Tomita, as we said in our past episode, got sent down to the farm so that he could be conditioned to be a starter. He's got an ERA of 2.00. Okadome, a reliever down there, has an ERA of 2.25 with 19 Ks in 16 innings pitched. And the team ERA, which was close to 5 last time we talked, is now at 4.31. So it is trending in the right direction. Before we get into recapping some action here, as always, it's time to thank the patrons. And you can be one of our patrons as well if you want to join us at www.patreon.com/thehanshintigers. So today I would like to thank Joe in Wakayama, Jamie Owens of Central English Okayama, Shane Barclay of Japan Ball, Tom Zilla in Osaka, Rick Silvers in Texas, Fran in the UK, Mario in the USA, our newest patron, JD in Kyoto, who used to be a co-host of this show. Miss you, JD. Blaine in Texas, Jay in Minnesota, Jana Rasanen in Osaka and Helsinki, Tokyo Swallows Podcast. We're facing you guys real soon here. Looking forward to it. Anita in Nishinomiya, Ian Hadel in Texas. All of you guys are fabulous, and we thank you for helping make this podcast possible. And just throwing a little Sanjay, thank you, patrons. Okay, so we are starting our recap with the Tokyo Yakult Swallows, who are actually the next team on the docket for us to face. Believe it or not, we played the full 12 games. There were no rainouts, and this is the first time I think we have done a podcast since that opening weekend without having to talk about rain. And I still mentioned it. Anyhow, we hosted them at Koshien on the 9th, and unfortunately, Murakami was the tough luck loser in this one. 7 innings pitched. In the 7th inning, his streak of 31 scoreless innings to start a season ended. That tied a club record, by the way. He gave up a solo home run to Santana. That was the only run of the game. We had a leadoff double in the bottom of the 9th and a great chance to tie the game, but a G4 followed by 2 straight strikeouts meant a shutout loss for us. Second shutout loss of the season, unfortunately. And we get our 3rd the very next day because as we host the Swallows, Yuki Nishi had a little bit of a rough outing. He did go 6 2/3 and he allowed 3 runs, so it was technically a QS, but all the runs that he allowed were with 2 outs, and so he was just that 1 out, sometimes 1 strike from getting out of the inning clean. But he gave up a 2-run RBI single to Osuna in the top of the 4th, and then Aoki with an infield RBI single in the top of the 7th. Bees gave up his first 2 runs of the year, 1 1/3 innings pitched, 2 hits and a walk, and 2 runs, and we only got 5 hits on the day. We had 2 chances with runners in scoring position and no outs, but we got nothing out of those. Really unfortunate. I hate shutouts, so I'm glad that these are the last 2 that we have to talk about, although we were pretty close on another day. Fortunately, we averted the sweep. I was actually at this game on the 11th to cap things off. It was Ito on the bump for us, and Sakamoto and Kinami got us a pair of triples in the bottom of the 2nd. To give us a 1-0 lead. Sure would have been nice to get a 2nd run there, but we didn't. And then in the top of the 4th, Uchiyama hit an RBI double down the line. But Ito was pretty good on this day. 7 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 run against, 7 strikeouts. No decision for him. But we did get a leadoff hit from Mieses in the bottom of the 8th of this game. Pinch runner came in. Sakamoto failed to bunt him over. Kinami got a hit to move him over to 3rd base. Actually, I think there's a wild pitch in there as well. And then Itohara with a weak grounder that scored pinch runner Obata from 3rd. What an outstanding piece of running that was, because that was a very weakly hit ball to a drawn-in infield. Anyhow, Ishii, before he got deactivated, got his first career win on this day, and Iwazaki with the save. Of course, he is replacing Yuasa at present and has been flawless. So we couldn't take care of the Swallows at home, but we keep the homestand going against, well, the team that was in first place and still was in first place is not in first place because that be us, folks. We faced the Yokohama Bay Stars for a 3-game set and swept them, baby. So 6-3 on Friday, Aoyagi was shaky at first. He gave up a run in the top of the first and nearly gave up more in the top of the second. He was saved by the defense a little bit. He helped his own cause in the bottom of the second with a 2 RBI double, and that was after they intentionally walked Kinami. So that was kind of an in-your-face. I love when it happens to us. I mean, for us, not when it happens to us, and it does happen to us a little bit later in this recap. But anyhow, yes, intentional walk gets the pitcher up, and he hits one for some scores. We got two more runs that inning as well, so it was a 4-1 lead at this point. Sato with an incredible line drive home run in the bottom of the third. And then we got a defense-aided insurance run in the bottom of the sixth. Their defense just kind of gave us that one. And the top of the eighth, Aoyagi let somebody on, and then Kajiya let somebody get home, or two guys get home. So 6-3. But this game was really never in question. It was, I mean, right from Aoyagi's RBI double, it was ours. It was in the bag. So now we're a game out of first place, and I'm at the stadium again on Saturday for a 7-2 win. This one actually was thanks in large part to our patron, William. Sorry, me being at the game was in large part to him, not the win, although I'll give him some credit for that win as well. Thank you, William, for attending and being the good luck charm. Top of the third, it was a Texas League RBI for Soto, so it's 1-0 for them. Bottom of the third, we got 4 runs on 2 hits, 2 walks, and an error, and a little bit of extra good stuff. So it's 4-1. Noisy with an RBI double in the bottom of the fourth. And top of the eighth, Iwasada gave up 3 straight hits to give them their second run. But in the bottom of the eighth, Chika with an RBI double, Noisy with an RBI single, and Otake with the gem in this one. I think he went 7 innings. His 5th win in 5 starts this year. I think either that tied the club record or put him 1 away. And he didn't get a 6th win in 6 starts, but we'll talk about that real soon anyways. So 7-2 win ties us for first place with the Bay Stars. Why not just take over first place outright? Yes, we do, and in convincing style. 15-7 on Sunday, on Mother's Day. So, you know, our guys were out there showing their moms how much they loved her. They loved their moms, and their guys maybe had their moms blushing a little bit. So poor Bay Stars mamas. Anyhow, Sato with a 3-run home run in the bottom of the first. Junya, who was on the bump for this one, gave one up in the top of the second on a pass ball. And then 3 in the top of the third, actually Miyazaki and Maki hit home runs. So Chika with an RBI and Oyama with a bases loaded walk and Teru with a grand slam in the bottom of the fourth gives us a big lead, and Oyokawa comes in the top of the seventh, gives up a run, but Nakano, and Oyama with back-to-back 2 RBI singles in the bottom of the seventh, and then Umeno with a sac fly. And to cap off the scoring, Miyazaki hits his 2nd home run of the game in the top of the eighth, and Oyama with an RBI single in the bottom of the eighth for a 15-7 win. Series sweep, we are in first place. Lovely, lovely 4-game winning streak. Let's go to Aichi, where we are absolutely pathetic. Except this time. We start this series in Toyohashi, which is a countryside city, you know, outside of Nagoya. And it's a good break for us. You know, it's a place where we can score runs. It's a kind of smaller ballpark, and we win 9-4. So Mieses with an RBI single in the top of the first. Oyama, Sato, Sakamoto, and Kinami with RBIs in the top of the fifth. It's 5-0. Murakami is cruising until the bottom of the fifth when he gets squeezed. I'm going to complain till the season ends about the terrible calls on strikes and balls for him in that one. He should have struck out the batter and gotten out of the inning clean. Instead, it got worked to a full count, an RBI single, and then a 3-run home run. So it is 5-4. He left the game after 5 innings and 4 runs against, but our team then padded that lead with a Mieses RBI in the top of the sixth. It was a ground out to third, and Chikamoto with 2 RBI double, and Nakano with a sac fly in the top of the ninth. 9-4 win gets our offense rolling, and we head into Vantoline Dome, where we are terrible, except this time. So top of the fourth, Shimada with a bases loaded walk to get us our first run. Noisy with an RBI single in the top of the fifth to get us our second run. And then Kinami with a sac fly in the top of the sixth to get us the 3rd run. Hosokawa hit a solo home run in the bottom of the sixth. Yukinishi with 7 innings pitched, 1 run against. So he straightened his ship out quite nicely there. And a big 3-1 win for us at the Vantoline Dome. Gotta love it. Have you noticed I've been saying Noisy's name quite a bit in this recap? Yeah, he's been having himself a fortnight. Okay, let's cap things off with another series sweep, shall we? So Thursday, we win 4-1 thanks to a Mieses bases clearing double in the top of the first, and then Chikumoto with an RBI double in the top of the second. Those were our only runs of the game, four runs right there. That's all we needed because Ito was masterful on the mound again, six innings pitched, one run against the Dragons with a lazy play in the bottom of the eighth that will be talked about for several ages. And again, let's bring up Noisy. We can't sing his praises enough. So it's runners on first and second, and their hitter, I think it was a lefty hitter, Muramatsu or something like that, he slapped one down the third base line. It got past Sato, and it looked like it was going to trickle to the corner. Noisy cut it off and threw out the runner at third. That was the runner from first base that was heading to third. Well, their guy that was on second, Ishikawa, I believe it was really not hustling to make it home. He was like, yeah, I'm here. I'm in. I'm home safe. The third out was made at third base before he touched home plate. Therefore, that run did not count. And that sent the Dragons fans, just into absolute shock. And they were like, no wonder our team is in last place. We can't even take care of simple things like scoring runs when we get them. So yeah, we swept them there. That was good. That was good revenge on anything that they do to us. We are now 4-2 on the road against them on the season. I can't believe it. Good stuff. Okay, and we recap the recaps. We finish the recaps, I should say, with a three-game set at home against the Hiroshima Carp. And we told you that Aoyagi got farmed earlier in the show. It is because of this outing. So he gave up 5 hits and 5 runs in the first inning. And then kind of straightened things out a little bit. So Noisy got us a solo home run. I think it was in the bottom of the third. And then Sato with a solo home run in the bottom of the fourth. So it's 5-2. And then Aoyagi loads the bases in the top of the fifth. It was 2 outs, man. Then he hit a batter. The next guy hit a double on like the second pitch. And then they intentionally walked the number 8 batter. So it's bases loaded. It took like 3 pitches, you know, to go from nothing to bases loaded. And, you know, they walked that number 8 batter to get the pitcher up. Just like I was saying earlier in this recap, what we gave out, we also had to receive here because their pitcher slapped one into right field and they scored 2 runs. So it's 7-2 and it looks like this one is over. Think again, folks. The team tied it up in the bottom of the fifth that very same inning. Chikumoto, Noisy with RBI singles, and then Oyama with a 3-run home run. He lunged down. It was a low pitch and he scooped it and got it over the fence. 7-7, we wipe out Aoyagi's loss and it looks like, hey, this could be another great come from behind win for our Tigers. You know, we tend to do this against the Carp. Not on this day. Oyokawa came in and gave up 3 straight hits against lefties, and he's a left-handed pitcher, so that was kind of disappointing. And then Julian Nishi came in out of the bullpen. As I said earlier, he is now a reliever for the time being, and he gave up an unearned run in the eighth inning. Well, he did walk 3 guys in his 2 innings pitched, so that wasn't good, and I think he allowed 0 or 1 hit. The run scored that he allowed on a walk, a stolen base, and on that stolen base, Umeno's throw was off, and then on the shallow grounder to a drawn-in infield, Obata's throw home was wild, and so they scored the run. Well, anyways, then Beasley allowed a home run in the top of the ninth. 10-7, we lose the game. Winning streak snapped at 7. Boo-hoo, we all go home sad. I didn't go home. I was at home. But the next day, I went out to the ballpark hoping to witness another win, and I did. So this one was crazy fast. Otake on the mound for us. And who was their pitcher? Morishita. That's right. Their ace, the Olympian, Masato Morishita. Okay. So 8 innings of nothing. Otake, 7 innings pitched, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. 1 guy touched second base against him. They only had multi-runners on base once in those 7 innings. Nobody reached third base, as I said. The Tigers were also shut down by Morishita, although they did get a couple of chances. Through 8 innings, he had allowed 4 hits and 1 walk. But then in the bottom of the ninth, there's 2 outs. Chikumoto and Nakano were out. Am I right? No. It was Nakano and Noisy were out. Oyama with a 2-out double. And then they walked Sato because he worked the count to 3-0. So now it's runners on first and second for Morishita. Our Morishita against their Morishita. Who is the stronger Morishita? In this case, it was ours, his winner. First pitch, he hits it through the left side of the infield for a single, and Oyama chugs home. Man, great base running by Oyama. Good decision by the third base coach to wave him home because the outfield was not fully drawn in. They were partly drawn in. And so what happened was their left fielder just didn't field it super quickly. And then his throw home was not a bullet. It was more of like a lob. I mean, it seemed like he was trying, but he was a bit off target and he was not fast. So Oyama was in cleanly without even sliding. 1-0, walk-off win. So not even a losing streak from us. We lost one game. We came back with a win. Great game to be at. I think it finished in 2.5 hours. Crazy good. You can check out the video that I made after the game as well. As I tend to do when I go to games, I did a little post-game show action for that one as well as the one on the 13th that I went to. And I think the 11th, I refrained from it because my voice was pretty atrocious that day. Anyhow, let's end the recaps with yesterday's game Sunday against those same Carp, and we won 4-1. So Nakano with an RBI single in the bottom of the third, Umeno with an RBI single in the bottom of the fourth. It's 2-0 for us. The Carp got an unearned run in the top of the seventh, and that was on an E4, a wild pitch, and a single. Psyche was on the bump, his first start in nearly, I think, a month and a half, maybe. 6 2/3 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 run not earned, and 7 strikeouts. We got him the win, and Umeno with some insurance with a 2 RBI single in the bottom of the 8th. So a 2-game winning streak for us heading into Jingu Stadium tomorrow, Tuesday. The team right now is 25-14-1. We are in first place, 2 games up on the Bay Stars, and we finished this stretch with a 9-win-3-loss record, way exceeding, far exceeding my expectations and Sanjay's. Yeah, good stuff, guys, good stuff. Unbelievable. Shall we, just for fun, let's hear the are.
Are?
And actually, I don't have any beefs with Okada. It's hard to have a beef with a manager who leads the team to a 9-3 record. I just wanted to point out here that Okada got his 600th career win as a manager on the 13th. That was the Saturday game against the Bay Stars. So congratulations. Omedetou, Kantoku Okada-san. Subarashii. Great manager and doing a great job this season. So we wanted to spend this time to give you the props that you deserve. I should also note that one of Sato's home runs during this stretch, I think it was during the 10-7 loss, was the 8,000th of the club's history. It was hit by number 8, and it was his 8th home run of the year. So good job, Sato. But as I said in this corner, good job, Okada-san. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. So as promised, it is time for us to do a little bit of introducing of the Pacific League teams that we are going to be facing in interleague play, which begins on Tuesday, May the 30th. So before the next time that we talk to you. This is how the schedule breaks down from start to finish. We are going to be in Saitama for the 30th, 31st, and June the 1st against the Lions. Then we host the Chibolate Marines on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. If you check the calendar, the 5th is on the schedule as a rain-out makeup date. So if it does rain, one of those 3 games against the Marines, we'll just play that Monday. Then we go on the road against the Eagles up in Sendai for the 6th, 7th, 8th. Then we go up to Escon Field, the brand new ballpark in Hokkaido, for the 9th, 10th, and 11th of June. Get a day off. And then we face the Buffaloes for 3 at Koshien, and then the Hawks for 3 also at Koshien. And after that, we potentially get a 4-day break, but it will depend on if there are any rainouts in those other games. So they always do this. They schedule interleague for 3.5 weeks, and then they give the teams like 4 or 5 days to make up for the rainouts, if there are any, because this is rainy season. So we half expect that some games will get rained out. So what I wanted to do here was just kind of break down these first 3 teams because I'm hoping to get back to podcasting before the Eagles series, but by the time you hear that episode, the Eagles series may be half over or fully over. So I want to talk to you about the Lions, the Marines, and the Eagles. So first of all, the Saitama Seibu Lions. currently sitting in fifth place in the Pacific with an 18-23-1 record. All time against the Hanshin Tigers, they are 33-32, which means they have just barely have a winning record against us. Last season, we beat them 2 out of 3. That was at Koshien. And the one game that they did win was, I think it was a shutout win. I think it was a 1-0 win for them or 2-0 win for them. And that was because Yamakawa hit a home run against Nishi. Well, Yamakawa, as you may have heard in the news, has been suspended or he's deactivated because of scandals and because of poor performance and maybe because of injuries or maybe he hurt some other part of his body because he deserves it because he did something to a woman that he shouldn't have. Anyhow, we're not going to go there. That is not what this show is about. But Yamakawa's out. So the question then is, who are their best hitters? Well, I would break it down to two guys, and I actually talked to my friend Christian so that I could get a little bit more clarity on this as well. And he told me that their two best guys right now this season would be Shuta Tonosaki and Takeya Nakamura. And when I look at the stats, you know, Tonosaki has 7 home runs on the year, and he's just a pipsqueak of a guy, so I don't know how he's doing it, but he's got 7 bombs. His OPS is 841, and he also has 10 stolen bases. So he was a free agent this past offseason, and he chose to stay with the Lions, so I guess good on him. I was secretly hoping that the Tigers would pick him up and that we would have ourselves a killer middle infield. So respect to Tonosaki. And Nakamura is the elder statesman pretty much of Japanese baseball. But he's also got a somewhat realistic shot at 500 career home runs, which is a crazy, amazing achievement if he does it. He's got 8 bombs on the year already, and his OPS is 958 as of today. Pretty fly for an old guy, I would say. So those are their two best hitters. As for who we might expect to face off against us, again, I consulted with Christian, and he gave me these 3 names. He said Imai, Tatsuya Imai, Dietrich Enns, and Kaima Taira. So just breaking down who these guys are for you. Imai is a young flamethrower, actually a pretty solid pitcher in my estimation, although he has very poor control. So just looking for the guy's numbers. They're there. 2.59 ERA on the season so far with a 3-1 record. And where are those strikeouts? He's 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, so 44 in 41 2/3 innings, but also 20 walks during that span. As I said, he's also hit 3 batters. He's a workhorse, though, and so far teams are only hitting 190 against him. And then Enns has a 4.05 ERA right now, and he's 1-6 on the year. So tough luck, I think, for him, because, I mean, with a 4 ERA, you shouldn't have that bad of a record, right? So he is not really a major strikeout pitcher. He's got under 6/9. So that's his story. I think he's a first year guy. And then Taira was their setup guy and maybe even closer for a while in the past. And he kind of reconfigured himself as a starter this year. And he's got a 2.19 ERA right now with a 3-1 record. And still throwing darts, man. 40 strikeouts in 37 innings pitched. And that's in 6 starts. And so he's averaging over 6 innings per start. So those are their starters. I would say that they're looking pretty good. It's going to be in their ballpark. I should also note this about them, though, because this is kind of, I think, interesting. The Lions have the second most home runs in the Pacific at 32. They also have the second most stolen bases at 28. But, as I said, despite the second most and second most, they're the second worst. And that is in part because they're not scoring runs. They've got the second fewest runs in the Pacific League as well. And that is coming with playing more games than the team with the fewest runs that we're going to talk about in just a little bit. So their pitching, though, I mean, they've got like an under 3 ERA as a unit, which is not too bad. But they're just not getting it done. And I mean, it comes down to the offense. They are not producing when they need to. And so I would suspect, though, that they're not going to score a boatload of runs, not against our projected starting trio of Murakami, Yuki Nishi, and Masashi Ito. So I'm expecting maybe that we're going to have a bit of a low-scoring affair. I'm looking for, though, a repeat of 2 years ago in Saitama when Sato hit 3 home runs in 1 game. The victim is going to be Enns because he's probably the weak link in their rotation right now. And if we get to face him, that's a good chance for us to feast. So there you have it. Oh, one more thing. Their closer. Christian was saying they kind of have closer by committee. It might be Hirai or it might be Masuda, I think, were the names that he gave me. So we don't really know necessarily what is going to be going on there. Oh, he said Masuda or Hirai or Aoyama. So there you go. And he said, who knows what Matsui is thinking, that being their manager, of course, Kazuo Matsui. So that would be the Lions in a nutshell. We're looking forward to them. It's always, you know, the cats against cats. It's always a good series. And as I said, you know, the Lifetime series is pretty darn close. If the Tigers take 2 of 3 here, it's dead even at 34 at the end of this season. And by the way, the Lions are the only team that we have beaten in the Japan series, but that was so long ago that it's really irrelevant. That was, of course, in 1985. Let's remember that because of Back to the Future and because of Randy Bass and because the Hanshin Tigers were kings for a year. Okay, so after that 3-game set, we're going to go, as I said, we're going to be hosting the Chiba Lotte Marines. What do we have to say about them? Surprise, surprise, surprise. They are leading the Pacific League right now with a 23-14-2 record. So pretty close to what our record is. Honestly, they have 2 fewer wins and 1 more tie than us. But, you know, these two teams right now are the cream of the crop. And I'll tell you this, it is because of the pitching on both sides. So overall, the Tigers have the lead in this Lifetime series. It is 32 for us, 28 for them with 5 ties. Last season, the Tigers went 2-1, but that was because Aaron Wilkerson, remember him? And Koyo Aoyagi, remember him? Haha, he's on the farm now. Led us to wins, and then we got a loss in the other game. So I don't know. I'm guessing that our starters would be, I don't know what we're going to do on Friday because that's where Aoyagi was. It's probably going to be either Tomita or Kirishiki would be my guess. It might depend on who does what this Friday against the Giants. And that might determine who's going to do the Friday against the Marines. The good news is I'm not too afraid of their bats because they really don't have that many good bats. And their best hitters right now are Kyota Fujiwara and Hisanori. I think Yasuda, both young guys that we were hoping to draft, but didn't get either of them, especially Fujiwara. He actually ended up being theirs. And then we ended up getting Koji Chikamoto, not too shabby. But anyhow, that's a side story. Basically, all this to say, they're not producing a ton of runs. Let me look at how many runs they've got on the year. They got 128, which is just 2 more than the Lions, but they've played 3 fewer games than the Lions. But still, they're not a high-scoring team right now. In fact, we'll talk about the other high-scoring teams next time because those are the teams we're facing later in Interleague. These Marines only have 16 home runs on the year, which is kind of lame, although we're kind of lame too with our only 21. And they've got 23 stolen bases, which is good for 4th in the Pacific, but it's still more than what we have. So it should be a very interesting series, I think, on the whole. What have I not told you yet? Their starters, I don't know. They've had a couple of Fridays off or a couple of like 2-game sets recently. But last weekend, Nishino pitched on Saturday for them. And then Sunday, this coming Sunday, Sasaki is slated to make his return to the rotation. So I'm hoping, not because I want the Tigers to lose, but because I want them to face Sasaki. I'm hoping that he will be on the bump on the 4th against us at Koshien Stadium. Entirely possible. And then Hirohata was a guy that pitched kind of midweek for them and could be the guy that ends up being in there. Although, really, I have no idea. So it's a guess. It's a crapshoot. Their closer is, I believe, Naoya Masuda with a 1.08 ERA. He's got a very low K rate. And let's also keep in mind that last year during Interleague, he gave up the game-winning or game-deciding home run to Sato. So let's hope for a repeat of that. I really think, though, as I said earlier, this series is going to come down to defense because both teams play really good defense, although the Tigers have kind of slipped up of late, and great pitching on both sides. I really think that we're going to see a lot of zeros up on those scoreboards. It's going to be the old takoyaki party. So that's what to expect at Koshien that weekend if you have tickets. Finally, as I said, I could be back on the air talking to you before the Eagles series, but let's talk about them anyways, because by the time it gets into your ears, it may have already started. So the Rakuten Golden Eagles, the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles, are in last place with a 15-23-1 record. And also, we have a winning record overall against them, 34-31. This also comes, though, despite the fact that we went 1-2 against them last interleague schedule. So there were 1-0 losses on both ends. We lost 1-0 and they lost 1-0. Some pitching gems. And then the other game, we lost 6-1. So we scored 2 runs against their pitchers. I honestly think there's no way that's going to repeat itself. Their pitching right now is actually, they've given up the second most runs, but they've also played 3 fewer games than the team that's allowed 1 more run than them. So their team ERA of 3.2 is worst in the Pacific. 3.2 is not too shabby, but I really think that we can kind of tear them up depending on who we face. What I've seen and what I'm guessing is that Takahisa Hayakawa, lefty, a young lefty, will be thrown 1 game. And then maybe Shoji, their rookie, might get another game. And I'm not sure about the third. I don't know how they're going to, you know, fill their rotation. But I look at who hasn't pitched of late, and I'm not sure if he's hurt or not, but Takayuki Kishi is a Tigers killer, and he hasn't pitched in like 10 days. So if he's hurt, then he won't face us maybe. But if he's not hurt, maybe they're kind of reshuffling their rotations so that he can face us during interleague and he can dominate us. I think he's the guy that pitched the shutout against us last season. And then I think Tanaka was the tough luck loser in a 1-0 game against us last year, if I'm not mistaken. I also do believe that Tanaka lost against us the year before. And also their closer, Yuki Matsui, who's got a 0 ERA on the year right now with 20 Ks in 12 2/3 innings, he lost against us in Sendai 2 years ago. It was a really great rally in the 9th inning, including like a triple by Chikamoto and a clutch hit by Umeno, and that's all I remember, but it was outstanding. So their best hitters, despite them not having great hitters, they do hit a lot of home runs. I should mention that. They lead the Pacific in home runs with 33 in 39 games. That's pretty outstanding. They lead the Pacific in stolen bases with 30. That's outstanding as well. How the heck are they not scoring? Well, they've got the few, how are they not winning, I should say? It's because they're not scoring. They've got the fewest runs in the Pacific. Granted, they've only played 39 games, which is less than most teams, but they have a 2.11 batting average on the whole. 2.11. So how are they going to do against our three of Murakami, Nishi, and Ito? My guess, not so good. They might get a home run here or there, a solo bomb. That might be it. So that's what I'm expecting out of this one. Sorry, I didn't get to their best hitters. Their best hitters, though, who actually two of them have quite a few home runs, would be Asamura and Franco. They've got a decent amount of home runs. And then Daichi Suzuki would be their best like hitter for average, more or less, as far as regular players go. But I'm really not worried about them. A lot of their guys are in their early to mid-30s, and they're just not a team in their prime. And I think they could be destined for the toilet this season on the whole. And that's because how about them fighters? Right? Just a side note, but ever since they started wearing the black and red threads, they're playing like heroes. So yeah, they're in fourth. The Eagles are in sixth. And I know that it's only a 2-game gap right now, but the Eagles are definitely trending downward. So that basically does it for the Rakuten Eagles. As I said, I expect that we're going to score quite a few runs. We may not hit home runs, but we will score. And I do think that we have a good chance of taking this series. I really hope that Kishi does not get a start against us. One more thing I want to talk about in this segment is the DH for us, because we're going into Saitama and we're going into Sendai during this 9-game set that we're talking about. Twice we're going to be, or 6 games, we're going to be getting the DH. And I think the clear-cut favorite is Johan Mieses, right? Right-handed hitter, hits the ball fairly well. I mean, when he does make connection. But we've definitely seen what he does in the field, and it ain't good. So if we're able to get his bat in the lineup without having his butt in the field, we're all better off. So I would say he's the main candidate, but I would also say Haraguchi. I would love to see him get a little bit more of a chance to show his stuff. You know, he never gets more than 1 at-bat a game, and I just think that's a waste. I mean, when that guy catches fire, he is too good. And, you know, if we do happen to employ a left-handed DH, I don't know, maybe Itohara. But it also might be interesting to experiment with one of the younger guys from the farm, maybe not give them the pressure of having to field during interleague, but be able to face the big league pitching as a DH. I don't know. Maybe Miyagawa gets the call up. You never know. So there you have it. That's been the basic rundown of the Pacific League for the upcoming series. I hope you enjoyed this segment. It's time to do a bit of predicting.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going
to be? No, I kind of don't like doing this predictions part because I'm always wrong, and I don't like being wrong about anything. I don't know about you. But as I said, so the schedule looks like this. We go into Tokyo for three, starting tomorrow, the 23rd, and we'll be there until Thursday. And then we host the Giants on the weekend. And then Interleague starts with our road trip to the Lions and our homestand against the Marines. I am saying this, the way that our team is playing, and again, I'm always wrong, but this time I can't be wrong. We're going 2-1 against the Swallows, 2-1 against the Giants, 2-1 against the Lions, and yeah, why the heck not? 2-1 against the Marines as well for a nice clean 8-4 record. How you like that? Prove me right, Tigers, or prove me wrong in a good way, Tigers. Well, that's a wrap for another episode of H10. I can't believe I have talked this long, even without Sanjay. Please come back, though, so that you can take over some of the jabbering and I can breathe a little bit more. Thank you all, the listeners, for tuning in, despite it being just little old me. And if you haven't gotten enough of us or of me, we're out there on the net. We're on Patreon. We've got the website, www.thehuntingtigers.com, Twitter at The Hunching Tiger, Instagram at Hunching Tigers English News, YouTube. As I said, I put out a couple of videos from the stadium, so you might want to check those out. They're kind of fun. And Facebook. And then I also have a daily sports column that came out, I think it was last week. And that's kind of an interesting one. It's about MLB rules versus MPB rules. So check that one out as well. I was inspired by one of our patrons who came to the online viewing party in May and asked some good questions. So you might want to check that one. All those details are in the show notes. And of course, we need to thank Infraction for the theme music because we love it. And Show for mixing the pod. I hope this one was a bit easier on your Show, but thank you anyways. Could not do this without you. Appreciate you every time. All you listeners out there, we'll catch you next time. And let's go, Hanshin Tigers.